This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of different topics around the Umpqua Valley. Want to look at the governor's race and talk to Republican candidate for governor, Christine Drazen. Thanks for being on today.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
So right off the get-go here, I wanted to ask you about a poll out recently that shows this race seems to be very close at this point.
Yeah, we are excited about really, you know, sort of seeing from the poll itself that Oregonians are looking for change. And we've seen it at our events and certainly everywhere we've gone across the state that people are just, things aren't working. Like, let's just be candid about where we're at as a state. That's really how people are feeling right now. We tried Tina Kotek. They gave her a chance. She hasn't been able to solve the problems that we're facing. And Oregonians are looking for better. They deserve better. Our kids deserve better. Our businesses deserve better. Our communities deserve better. And they are looking for change, and I'm grateful to be the leader that they are supporting right now.
And that poll does show a 4-point lead, 6% of voters undecided. So, I mean, it is still a very close race, according to this one.
Oh, absolutely. This is absolutely going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a tough race all the way through to the end. But it is a winnable race. It's a winnable race for Oregonians. I mean, I am running for governor and I'm in the fight, but I'm in the fight for the people of this state. This isn't about me. This is about whether or not they choose better for their own futures, whether or not they choose a new direction that's a better direction where we can have affordable food and affordable gas and where our kids can get a good education. That shouldn't be too much to ask for, but we're not getting it with our leadership that we have today in the governor's office.
Now, along with the governor's race, this poll had at least a few other questions. What other data are you pulling from it?
We have, you know, had the opportunity really to look at an awful lot of stuff out there related to the issues that people are focused on and caring and care about. And it comes down to the economy, whether or not people feel like they can afford to live here and whether or not they're optimistic that they'll be able to hold on to their job or find the next new job that's, you know, the next goal in their professional life. And all of that stuff just comes across, not just in all the community events that we've been having, but again, through the data that's out there. And a lot of it is community related stuff that we know that the public data also confirms. So we know that Oregon's second worst and worst in the nation for third and fourth grade reading and math, and families feel that. We know that we're the most expensive place in the nation for individual income tax burden overall, and that's a lot of what drives people to feel like their dollars just don't go very far here. And we know housing is uniquely expensive in Oregon because of labor costs and land and permitting, slow permitting, expensive permitting. All those things are issues that Oregonians are frustrated by. They're unhappy with that. They're dissatisfied. And those are all choices that public policy has impacted. That's not, you know, that doesn't just happen by accident. All that stuff happens because politicians aren't paying attention to the cost for Oregonians and they continue to advance an agenda rather than saying no and saying Oregonians can't afford this.
You know, I was talking with somebody recently who's lived here for, well, ever since college, and they're probably mid-40s, something like that, and do well at what they do, but started crunching numbers and are now contemplating the thought of moving somewhere else because they look at the tax rates, the cost to live here, all of that, and then they say, look ahead over the next 20 years and say, okay, if I move to this other state, with the current setup that is in place there, over the next couple of decades, I would have this much more money because the cost of living is less in that state. And as much as they like it here, they're actually thinking of moving.
Yeah, we hear that story every day. I hear that story absolutely every single day. And it shouldn't be that way. I want Oregonians to love to live here and to be able to afford to stay. And to do that, we have got to change our direction. We've got to reduce the regulatory pressure. We've got to lower the taxes. We've got to make it affordable for people to be able to have a job, earn a living, and be able to live the life that they hope to live here in Oregon, to achieve the Oregon dream. It's not happening. It's just not happening today, but it can.
Now,
elections.
Talk about over the summer, people's interest in politics honestly pulls back a bit, but it's where you really get a lot of the things ready for the big push after September, the beginning of September. How are you doing on fundraising right now?
You know, we have a ways to go. We were in a very competitive primary, which I am grateful to have the support of my opponents in that primary to move ahead in a unified way. To give Oregon better leadership in our state and make sure Tina Kotek's a one-term governor. But it also means that she spent this last year raising money unopposed. And, you know, she's raised over $6 million. And I have about $1 million cash on hand, and that's a huge number. But I have to be able to compete financially against the governor, because she's going to get out there and try to manipulate Oregonians, and she's going to tell them all kinds of crazy stuff. And I have to have enough resources in the bank to be able to communicate directly with Oregonians the truth of what this race is really about. And it's really about them, and it's really about their lives and how things are going here at home, whether or not that's homelessness or public safety, schools, cost of living. Those are issues that are Oregon issues, and she's going to try to manipulate voters, and that's the only way she's going to be able to win, is not to talk about her record, but to try to manipulate voters. And so I have to be able to compete. I have to be able to tell the truth about what I stand for and what's at stake in this election. So we're working real hard to raise money every single day, because unfortunately I have to be able to do that to be able to get the truth out there.
You know, watching Oregon politics for a long time, one of the things I've noticed, especially in governor's races in the past, there seems to be a struggle sometimes for the GOP candidates. They want to appeal to the GOP core, but need to reach across the aisle to pull in some moderate Democrats. Sometimes you start to do that, then some of the more conservative Republicans get alienated or wonder if you're pulling more to the center or more to the left. How do you juggle all this and come out with a win?
You know, the need for our state right now is leadership that is blind to party and is focused entirely on Oregonians and their concerns and their frustrations and their hopes and dreams. And that's me. And as long as I stay focused on that priority, that Oregonians are always going to come first for me, and that I'm here to serve everybody regardless of party affiliation and regardless of whether or not they vote for me, it'll be an opportunity to improve the quality of life for everybody. And that's really where we should be. We should tell the truth. We should have integrity. Well, we should commit to making government smaller, more accountable, more transparent, more efficient, more return on investment for your tax dollars. And we should do right by people. And that has nothing to do with party affiliation. That has everything to do with being a fellow Oregonian.
We saw the gas tax referendum go down in maybe a historic proportion last time around. Do you think that message was heard in the governor's office?
No, I don't think it was. She turned around after that and signed on to a lawsuit that actually immediately raised prices for 1 million Oregonians that are served by co-op electricity across the state, and raised their rates by 6% and 7% immediately. If she isn't paying attention to affordability, she's not listening to Oregonians when they're telling her we can't have these cost increases and we can't take anymore. And she's already starting to talk about what the new tax package is going to be in the 2027 session. She didn't learn. She didn't listen. She didn't respect Oregonians enough to listen to what they were telling her. And that is that their values, their priorities, their needs, their concerns have to come before the bureaucracy, before government, before growth of government. They're more important than that. She didn't learn that lesson.
Now, you mentioned getting the support of your primary opponents. Do you Or are you going to be seeking help from them actually being out there during the fall campaign?
You know, it's going to be all hands on deck, and I'm looking forward to having the opportunity to get out across the state with all of our supporters. And I already know that some of our folks are looking forward to doing events and certainly participating in this race in whatever way fits within, you know, their family commitments over the course of the summer and beyond. But yeah, it is pretty incredible that we would have the kind of tough primary that Republicans engage in. We're a merit-based party. We want the best of the best. We want the brightest. We want the strongest. We want the fastest. And that makes for a real competition out there. And the people that were engaged in that race know that Oregon can't handle another 4 years of Tina Kotek, and that the mission, the assignment, is for us to beat Tina, make her a one-term governor, and stand together and work together to turn our state around.
If you are successful at doing that and walk into the office next January, what are your top priorities for that first month?
You know, my day one is to tear up her executive orders that are driving up costs. She's got a climate protection plan. She's got another climate agenda that she's advancing through executive orders. I'm going to fire ineffective agency heads. I am going to freeze new rules and regulations. I'm going to present a balanced budget that holds the line on government without raising taxes. I am going to fire our boards and commissions that are harming our economy and, frankly, hurting our kids in schools. Our kids that are sitting in our classrooms in this upcoming fall, they're our future. And that's going to be the only year they're in the third grade. That's the only year they're going to have a senior year. And they deserve to have an education that helps them achieve their best and brightest future. They deserve to have a diploma that means something. Right now, the diploma has no requirements whatsoever. They just have to get the credits, which they get just by showing up. That's not good enough. We're finding that I was talking to a business owner yesterday that said when he interviews folks now that want to come to work with him, and he's in construction, they actually, as a part of the interview process, do a test to see if they know how to read a tape measure. And there's an awful lot of kids out there that don't understand fractions enough to even read a tape measure. So our schools are not doing right by our kids. They can, they absolutely must, they should, and they will in the future. We've got strong teachers, but we've got some structural problems with what they're focusing on, and we've got some real problems with disruptive behaviors in the classroom and some other stuff that really has got to be corrected and changed. But we can do it. We're going to do it. And when we win in November, Oregonians are going to find that we have stronger schools, lower costs, and a government that is committed to serving them. And frankly, you know, not treating businesses like they're an opponent, but a partner.
Are there particular state agencies that you would spend more time at the beginning trying to make adjustments with?
You know, we have got to turn around the Oregon Department of Transportation. They didn't get the money that Tina wanted them to receive in this last round, but they also haven't restructured. They also haven't trimmed the fat at the level that they need to as far as reprioritizing their workforce. There's also the Oregon Health Authority, which is driving up healthcare costs for all of us and isn't delivering the results that we need for people that are facing mental health challenges and isn't clearing the way for people to have more affordable access to prescription drugs. Like, they are just massive bureaucracy out there, the biggest budget that our state actually funds. And I don't believe that they're improving health outcomes for Oregonians today. And then we also could go down the line. We have got problems with the EQ. We've got problems with Business Oregon. It is significant, and I already mentioned the Board of Education and Oregon Department of Education. That's another agency that's bloated and just pushes rules and regulations on our schools and doesn't focus on academics and outcomes. And so there's a lot of work to do, but government today is a part of the problem, and they need to be part of the solution, and some of that's going to be getting them a little bit out of our lives more than they are. We need government to step back. And we need for the people of Oregon to step forward.
Talk about making the state more business friendly. How do you do that?
You know, it's some of it's leadership, reputation, and then the other part of it is structural regulations and taxation. If we're going to be business friendly, then we have to be competitive. Businesses have to stay in business. And today we've had a record number of bankruptcies over the course of the last year and a half. And that has, we've got to stop that. We've got to figure out what's happening out there on the ground and what is making our businesses less competitive and work with them and support them. I stood in a field last week and I stood with pear farmers who are struggling. They're having a couple of tough years from pests, and they had a cannery close and they had a bumper crop and nowhere to sell their crops. And some of them were offered $0 per bin for the pears that cost $300 a bin to grow and harvest. And so some of those pear farmers that are multi-generational out in the gorge are facing closure, the end of their family businesses. That is a threat to our economy. It's a threat to our local food sources, and we need to intervene as a state. And they were very clear what they need is a break in regulations. They've asked for a pause on the overtime rules that will prevent them from being able to have workers work through harvest at the rates they need to. They've asked for a pause on new rules for what's mandated for housing, for workforce. Like, there are things that are driving costs for them that they just can't afford today. And government should work with them. Government should look at them and say, okay, we don't want you to go out of business. You're a valuable business here in the state of Oregon. You matter to Oregonians. We believe in our farms and our family farmers. And so let's figure out what we can do to work with you. Instead, the response out of the governor's office was that was not the right trade-off that she was willing to make. And so there's no doubt that it's important that we continue to ensure that our economy moves along. But when businesses tell us they have problems, we need to listen because we don't want to lose them. We don't want them to move to Idaho. We don't want them to move to Arizona or Nevada. We don't want to go to Montana. We want them to stay. And they don't have to stay. The vast majority of them can move somewhere else. That's not true for our ag communities, obviously. But the vast majority of them can go somewhere else. And we need to make sure that they stay and grow here, provide jobs, so that we have strong, stable families, strong communities, and frankly, enough funding to be able to provide the social safety net that as Oregonians we also value.
Are you concerned about some of the companies that have already left that it would be really hard to actually get to come back?
I am really, really concerned that those companies have already left. And the way the business cycles operate, they may never come back, or it might take years and years for them to be able to unwind that and engage in the kind of planning and transitioning that it would take to come back to Oregon. In the meantime, though, we've got Oregon companies that are here today, and we need to keep them and we need to help them grow. And even the Oregon companies that are here today find that as they look at expansion, they might keep their footprint here, but a lot of them look at expanding in other states. And in some cases, it's because the tax burden is lower for their employees and they don't have the level of income tax that we have in Oregon. And in some cases, it's because the business can actually be profitable in other places where the business taxes aren't as high. So we have an opportunity today with the businesses we have to make sure that they stay and they grow. And also, Oregon's got assets we haven't even begun to explore. We have stores of, you know, lithium available to us on the Oregon-Nevada border. And if we don't act, that economic opportunity and, frankly, the need that we have for lithium as a nation is going to continue to grow, and the benefits all going to go to Nevada and Nevada companies. We have geothermal stores that are among the highest in the nation in Oregon. We need to look at that as a clean, renewable energy source into the future and begin exploring what that process might look like. They're doing it in Colorado. We should do it in Oregon. So we have a lot of opportunities to be able to manage our forests and make our forests working forests again. We should look at our assets as a state, and we should see them as assets. And we should have the kind of permitting and the kind of mindset that we say we're going to get to yes. We want these jobs. We need these resources to be managed in a way that we're environmentally conscious, and also we're sensitive to the need for economic activity. And frankly, these are essential resources. How can we get it done? We can do that as Oregonians, and we must do that as Oregonians.
Now, if you're successful in November, you'll most likely be dealing with a democratically controlled legislature. How do you plan to work with them?
Yeah, this is a terrific opportunity for Oregonians to see the importance of balance in Oregon's government that we haven't had for, you know, years and years and years. I look forward to the opportunity to provide some firm edges to what government is about and what we should be doing. And I will affirmatively let folks know, hey, that crosses the line for me. I'm going to veto that bill. And at the same time, if I have an opportunity to work with the Democrat legislature in Salem, if they still have majorities there, I'm going to make it really clear that I also am looking for durable solutions, and I'm willing to work with them to get that done. But we're not going to raise prices on Oregonians, and I am not going to waver on these principles that Oregonians are always going to come first. We are going to restore our economy. We are going to provide an affordable place to live, and we're going to stop with the political agendas that have been running amok in our state for more than a decade now. It's time for those special interests to be put to the back of the line, and it's time for Oregonians to be put at the front of the line.
As we wrap up, any upcoming appearances down here in Douglas County?
You know, we are adding stuff to the calendar every day, and ChristineForOregon.com is the best place for people to reach out to us if they would like to make us aware of an upcoming event or an opportunity to come on down to Douglas County. I love every reason to come on down there. And so we've got lots of stuff that's under consideration right now on the calendar and look forward to more.
Candidate for Governor Christine Drazen, thanks for being on.
Thanks so much, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. It's presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.